People get frogs in their pools. The frogs think the pools are ponds, jump in, and can't get out again. Invisible chlorine seeps through their skin and kills them. On spring mornings, the more fortunate citizens of Highbone wake up to find their swimming pools full of dead or struggling frogs. They stand in their bathrobes with pool nets, fishing them out while their coffee gets cold. Only Isabel and the frog fishers are awake now. She walks barefoot through the empty streets around Harbor Ridge, spreading her toes and pushing off the ground with every step, trying to feel everything at once. It's early, and the grass is still wet. The sun slants along the ground, and the drops on the spider webs are glinting in the bushes. She's wearing her blue cotton skirt, the flouncy one that shows her thighs and reminds her of the sky. Over that, she has on a secondhand navy sweater that's almost as long as the skirt. One of the frog fishers stands there with her pool net dripping and stares at Isabel's sweater and her bare feet. Isabel just laughs. Doesn't the lady realize how she looks, doing ridiculous frog maintenance on her perfect life that looks exactly like the perfect life next door? Factory made and totally meaningless, pretending to be paradise and full of roadkill. Everyone pretends the water is clear. Those pools might as well be full of girls instead of frogs. Bleeding, barefoot girls floating face down with the soles of their feet staring up at the sky. The collateral damage of all that pretending. She turns her back on the frog fishers and heads toward the heavier air down the hill. The onshore breeze is full of salt and the smell of ocean green blowing over Highbone Harbor. The pavement is gathering heat from the early sun and sending it up through the soles of Isabel's feet. She breathes. It could always be like this, if everyone would just take their shoes off and breathe in. The day could stay like this. But already the traffic is starting up. Slamming car doors echo down Main Street. She has to move out of the way so a high-boned cop can drive past her. He turns his siren on, drives through the red light at the bottom of the hill, then turns it off again. Mariner's Maps and Books isn't open yet. Mr. Lipsky is never too worried about being on time. When he shows up, she can get the copy of Under a Glass Bell he ordered for her. One day, Isabel is going to live on a houseboat, like Anaïs Nin. Right now, she can hear the shackles on the sails in the harbor, ringing like bells against aluminum masts. She can feel the shelves of poetry behind the window at her back, the thousands of miles there are to travel in every direction. She knows how beautiful it all is, and that's what makes her different than everyone else in Highbone. She'll never understand why people trade in their souls for pool nets and sprinkler systems. The cop parks between Isabel and the sun, then gets out and stands looking down at her legs. "Waiting for someone, young lady?" he says to her thighs. "Yep." She stands up and pulls her skirt down. "Is that a problem?" The cop jerks his head away from her 16-year-old legs, like suddenly they offend him. "Where are your shoes?" he says, as if her bare feet are what he was staring at.
"Don't have any. Pawned them for a train ticket out of this hole."
The cop just stands there for a while, looking at the harbor and doing his cop silence. Whatever. Isabel is going to get out. They're all going to get out, her and Magdalene and Ruth. None of them are supposed to be here. They all know it, and that's why they get each other. That's why they're friends. Isabel has a plan. As soon as she's 18, she'll get a job working at the lagoon. They have bouncers, and the girls wear cut-off shorts, so it's just topless. They rake it in. That's what Vicky says. Vicky works at Dunkin' Donuts now because they won't let her work at the lagoon anymore. She won't say why, but she did say when she was there she brought home $100 after 6 hours on a good night. A year of that kind of money and Isabel could live for ages on a houseboat. The cop is inside the diner now, sitting at the counter drinking free coffee and eating free pie.
He's so arrogant he left the car window open with a wallet sitting right on the passenger seat. Isabel looks both ways before she reaches in and grabs the wallet.